Turn to God's word. So please have your Bibles open at 1 John chapter 3. So how do you think people felt exactly 100 years ago? Just a few minutes after the armistice came into effect, when the guns finally fell silent. The actual agreement itself had been signed a few days earlier, so people knew that this moment was coming. And in the trenches, on the battlefield, the soldiers must have been counting down, waiting for the ceasefire. And then when it passed, there would have been incredible relief, along with caution, because if only it would have taken a spark to reignite that conflict. For people back home, when that moment passed, they would have the knowledge that their relatives and friends would be coming back home. And everyone would have thought about the price that had been paid. Remember those who had been lost. So 100 years ago, people would have been filled with a mixture of emotions, a bitter, sweet joy that it was finally over, and sorrow at the incredible cost that had had to be paid. And from that point forwards, they knew that no more men and women would have to die. The price of freedom had been paid. Now it was time for a period of peace, of joy and sorrow, along with thankfulness that they had got through, that they had made it. Because the Great War was an incredibly costly war, which changed the course of European history. 9 million people died. 7 million people had wounds which would leave them disabled for the rest of their lives. On Friday, I heard stories about survivors of the Great War and how they were carrying their wounds, both physical and psychological, into the 1960s and the 1970s, within the time that most of us here were alive. Nearly every family in the United Kingdom lost someone through this war. It touched everyone. And the consequences of this war went with the people down to their graves. It was a time of incredible sacrifice when many people laid down their lives so that we could continue living in freedom. So it's right that each year we pause and remember them and give thanks for their bravery and the sacrifices that they made. And as we think about what they endured, we can only imagine their emotions at this time, exactly 100 years later. The ending of hostilities really was good news for everyone who heard it. But sadly, we also know that the peace that they signed on that day was not a peace that lasted. At the time, they thought that the Great War was the war to end all wars. But it was renamed the First World War when the Second World War erupted just 21 years or so later. And so many people died in that war that they don't even know how many lost their lives. In the Second World War, between 60 and 80 million people died. And since then, it's been one conflict after another. And it's been estimated that in the last century, 123 million people died, either directly or indirectly, through war. It was an incredibly bloody century, the last century. And this century hasn't got started any better, has it? Because peace between men never lasts. Because in every generation, there are always people who want more than they currently have. There are always people who have an idea that they're willing to kill for. And while people are like this, there will never be lasting peace. Which is why this morning I want to spend a few minutes talking about another better message of good news. A message of peace that's been around a lot longer than World War I. It's also a declaration of peace. But this is a peace that is different to the ending of war between people. In fact, it's a lot more important than that. And we realize this when we ask ourselves the question, why do people go to war with each other? And that question can be answered in many ways. But what we as Christians need to understand is that war is a symptom of a deeper problem. Just like when you've got a cough or a cold, the sneezing is a symptom that you're fighting a virus. War is a symptom of a deeper problem. And that deeper problem that war is a symptom of is the simple fact that humanity has rebelled against God. We have rejected God and tried to put ourselves into his place. This is what is happening at the beginning of the Bible there, where Adam and Eve try and replace God by becoming like him. And when that happens, our relationship with God was shattered. And our relationships with other people were shattered as well. Look at the relationship between Adam and Eve, how they blamed each other. And then Cain and Abel, their children, one murdered the other. Our relationships with one another were destroyed when we turned against God. And since then, it's been one murder, one argument, one war after another and another and another. And so it will go on. Because as long as people live as if God does not exist, they are living for themselves and they're in competition with one another. They're trying to get the best of everything. And there's always people who will resort to violence to pursue their own ends. Wars will not cease. There will never be lasting peace until this root problem of our rejection against God is sorted out. We have to get our relationship with God right, and then there will be peace. And this is what the message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ brings, which is why it's the best news in the world. Because in the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, because of his work then, it is now possible to be forgiven, to have a fresh start, and to have that relationship with God restored once again. The root problem is solved. And it's possible for the individual to enjoy real peace with God. And the death of Christ is making it possible for us to escape from a conflict that each and every one of us is a part of. Because all of us were at one time rebels against God. But when we trust in him, it's possible to have peace with God, which means it's also possible to have much better relationships with other people. So what was it that caused God to offer this incredible peace deal? Well, World War One. It came to an end because the Germans had tried pretty much everything. They'd not broken through the lines and they became frustrated and tired. So, to avoid being defeated, they stopped the inevitable by signing the armistice and the guns stopped firing. World War Two. Well, in Europe, it stopped with the complete defeat of the Germans and its allies and the death of Hitler. While World War Two in the Pacific took the use of nuclear weapons to cease it. Men give up war when they are tired or they are defeated. Was God tired with the conflict? Was God defeated? No. God the everlasting, the all-powerful one, he does not get tired, he does not get weary. We're not going to have more stamina than God in this war. Was God defeated? Certainly not. He is the creator and sustainer of all. Humanity has as much hope of beating God in a conflict as a child has of trying to extinguish the sun with a water pistol. It's just not going to happen. So why did God make peace with us? Because God is a God of love. And it was this love that brought the Son of God from heaven to earth to live among us and then go to that terrible death on the cross, where his actions make it possible for justice to be done. Sin is really punished, while at the same time, it opens up the door for forgiveness for people. And what's so amazing about this is that it's so one-sided. In that little video that we saw, Romans 5, verse 8 was mentioned, which reads, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Men make peace when both sides get tired or one side is defeated. God makes peace even when the other side is still his enemy, is still fighting against him, because God is a God of love. And true love seeks to give, even when the person who is receiving is ungrateful. And this means that God was willing to buy peace through the sacrifice of his son, which is surely the greatest sacrifice that he could have made. And he made it for people who were still his enemies. Because this is what a sinner is. It's being an enemy of God. We all know the symptoms of sin. You know, people get drunk, they take drugs, they're nasty towards people, they're violent, it leads to wars. These are the symptoms of sin. A sinner is someone who is living in rebellion to God. Living as an enemy of God. Yet despite all this, God is willing to provide a way for people to be forgiven because he is a loving God. So here you have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest message of peace, the most important message in the world. How do we respond to this message of peace, to this message of reconciliation? A message which reminds us that God provided us with a way out because we were in an unwinnable situation. A message that reminds us that God is a God of love. God showed his love by sending Jesus to lay down his life for us. And this is the greatest act of love, as John 15:13 reminds us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Your life is the greatest and most important thing that you have. So to give it up for your friends is surely the greatest act of love. Even today on the battlefields around the world, soldiers put themselves into harm's way to protect their mates, and they are showing love for one another. To give your life is the ultimate sacrifice, and this is what Jesus did so that our war with God could be brought to an end, so that we could be forgiven and escape the eternal consequences of our actions. This is true love. So how do we respond? We respond to the sacrifice of our personnel in our armed forces in several ways. We wear a poppy to remember their loss. We may attend remembrance services or go to marches up to cenotaphs. There's many different ways that we can remember these people. And these are good and respectful things for us to do. And all of them involve one thing in common. They involve us doing something. Not just thinking grateful thoughts, but actually doing something. And the same is true when we think about Jesus' sacrifice for us. Yes, there is gratitude, there were grateful thoughts, but that gratitude should motivate us into action, into doing things. And this is where we look at 1 John 3:16b. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then in verse 23 of that chapter, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and to love one another. Christians are called to be people who respond to the sacrifice of Christ by showing the love of God to one another. And this is a love that needs to be shown in actions. Christians are people who should be willing to provide real help to people who are in need, to show them the kind of love that we have received ourselves through our faith in Jesus Christ. And remember, we received this love from Christ when we were still God's enemies. So when we seek to help other people, we're seeking to help people who may not like us, people who may not be grateful for the love that we show them. We need to show that giving love that is not bothered with what it receives, but we need to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do we show this love? Well, first of all, we show this love by sharing the gospel with people. The gospel is the best news in the world. It's the greatest news in the world. And it's important we get it out there. Just think what it was like when the armistice was signed. Everybody would have been talking about this peace deal. And if someone didn't know about it, you'd want to let them know, wouldn't you? The gospel is a greater message of peace. It's possible to have peace with God because of what Christ has done. And this is the only way to have peace with God. Because if you continue in your war with God, there are eternal consequences and eternal punishment. So we have the most important news in the world to share with people. And we recognize that we've received this message not because we're special, but because of God's love and grace. So it's right that we seek to share this message with the people all around us. So telling other people about Jesus and what he has done is the greatest act of love that we can show anyone. And then alongside sharing this gospel, we need to copy Jesus' love for others. Think of his life. How he always had time for those people who were sick, who were struggling with all sorts of problems. How he washed his disciples' feet. And then how he went to the cross and died for us. He gave his life so that we could be forgiven. So in return, we give our lives in his service, which includes reaching out and helping people. How generous are we willing to be to help others? Well, here in the church, we do have opportunities to show this generosity. We've just got to the final handing date for the shoebox appeal, and I know many people have taken part in that. So a big thank you to everyone who's involved, and I'm sure we'll hear the final figures next week, won't we, Claire? Excellent. There's also a food bank box at the back as well, and that's another way that we can help people in our community who are struggling in one way or another. And many people contribute to that. So once again, a big thank you for helping out in that way. But there are many other ways that we can help people. We live in an age where there is incredible communication with people through the internet and social media and things like that. And we have an absolute epidemic of loneliness. We're surrounded by lonely people living in our streets around us, people who never get out. Maybe a way that we can show Christ's love in our own roads is just knock on the door of that person who rarely gets out and say hello and check that they're okay. Maybe bring them down to the coffee morning. That's a good way to bring them along to church. There are many, many ways that we can show Christ's love in our community through our actions. And it needs to be through our actions, because kind thoughts don't do anything. And prayers can be helpful, but actions do speak louder than words. As it says here in verse 18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Because this is how true love is shown, with actions, not just with words." So as Christians in our society, our duty is to tell other people the good news that Jesus has done, how he has brought peace into the situation, which is the cause of every war, every murder, every act of abuse in our world. That message of how our broken relationship with God can be sorted out. And we're to share this message of good news with other people, and we're to also be kind to people, to treat people how we would want them to treat us, even if they don't respond in kind. This is loving other people in the way that Christ loved us when we were still his enemies. And it takes effort, because it's a difficult thing to do, because we know how dark our world is. We know that wars continue up until this day. We see conflict in families. We see violence and murder on our streets. We see people just living for themselves and taking advantage of others. It's difficult to show this Christ-like love in our society. But we have hope, because one day our Savior will return. And let's just remind ourselves of that passage that we opened our service with from Isaiah 2. "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among the nations and provide arbitration for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war." All those who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior will be able to share in this lasting peace, because it's lasting peace that people are longing for. The people who are gathered around the cenotaphs around this country, all around the world, they want lasting peace. But there will only be lasting peace when the Prince of Peace, in all of his glory, returns and he puts an end to war. This is the hope that we have. This is the hope that we look to. And this is the hope that we share with other people. So we respond to his sacrifice by telling other people the good news of the gospel and trying to love them in the way that Christ has loved us. Amen.